It's Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. Just a few things that before we get started this morning, I just want to bring attention every week that we send out devotionals 5 days a week, both men and women. We have five different writers for Vital Men that just gives you an inspiration, that uplift in the midst of your day. So I encourage you to get on to vitalministries.org and check it out, and you can actually get that on demand on your phone, so those devotionals come straight to you. And also, too, for women. My wife writes for the Vital Women side, and she does an exceptional job. And again, she's an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And again, it's just that uplift that can start your day out. Also, too, I want to introduce, we have a great new event that's coming up in Vital Ministries on July 14th. From 5 o'clock to 7 p.m. at Debbie's Celebration Barn. And again, that's July 14th from 5 to 7 at Debbie's Celebration Barn. We're going to have food. We'll feed you first. You can come in, we'll eat, and then we'll have some time for some music, some inspiration, a teaching, and then we will end up with a time of gathering of the coffee time. So I just encourage you to be part of that new event that is coming up. You don't want to miss it. So plug in on July 14th. But we are in the teaching series that has drawn a lot of conversation about what's your poison. Bottom line is, what areas in your life are you addicted to something? We all have these vices or struggles we contend with. Our subject topics thus far have been, we've talked about drugs and alcohol, sex, and also the different addictions and how steps of how you can overcome them. That's how addictions start a lot of times, folks, is through casual things that we begin. Ask anyone about how their first drink was, their first joint, their first magazine, or click on the internet. It grabs you, and it tries to entrap you and your life. This week, we're going to look at tobacco or smoking. But before we jump into this discussion today, let's get a little bit of insider facts about smoking and how it's holding people in the bondage of the addiction of smoking itself. First, tobacco is the leading cause of preventable death that kills over 480,000 people annually, more than any other addiction in America. That is amazing. Tobacco costs the U.S. $170 billion in health care and $150 billion in lost productivity each year. That is staggering when I look at that. It also says that 14% of Americans smoke. That's 34.3 million adults smoking. Now, let's get to the high school, the people that are under age of 18. 8.1% of high school students smoke. Annual tobacco industry spends $9.4 billion in marketing to entice you to smoke. Profound facts of the nature of what tobacco costs America in the lives of productivity. Many people also smoke cigarettes, will also go into what they call e-cigarettes or vaping. It's still an addictive measure that tries to keep you smoking tobacco, especially with high school students and young people. According to the U.S. Surgeon General, e-cigarettes are up 900% amongst high school students. This is the big business and a big addiction. But today I have a special guest with us this morning, Charlie McMillan. Charlie, good morning. Welcome today.
Good morning, Mike. Good to be here.
Thank you. Before we get into our conversation today, I want you to tell us a little bit, Charlie, about who you are and what you do and a little bit about your family.
Okay, I'm Charlie McMillan, as you said, and I was born and raised in Oskaloosa. I haven't always lived here, but I'm married to my high school sweetheart. We were just talking the other day, taking the years we went together and years we've been married. We've been a couple for 50 years already.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
And we have two wonderful daughters and slug of grandkids that we love. I work with the Christian Opportunity Center in Pella,
right,
and I've been with them for over 25 years, actually. Wow. All total, probably about 30 years.
Sure.
I have been a bivocational pastor for 15 years in Knoxville, and I still do some ministry work. Weddings and funerals, and
you still do pulpit supply. You still pastor.
And I work with the Vital Ministries, and so that's just kind of my story.
It's pretty basic.
It's just basic.
Yeah, it's basic, but it's still staying in step with what God has called you to do in your life. I love that about you and your wife, Charlie. You guys are amazing. But Charlie, this morning, you've got a story. You've got a testimony. I want you to tell us a little bit about your life before Christ. What was your journey? And what was your poison, the addictions in your life before you came to Christ?
Well, Mike, As I said, we've been a couple for 50 years, so that tells you we've been together at a young age, because I'm not that old, but
I am old as dirt yet, right?
Right. But probably as a teenager, and I got into smoking because it was cool.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, before I was a teen, I probably started playing with cigarettes when I was 12 years old.
12 years old.
A lot of people find that hard to believe, but back in the day, there was a lot of us that did that.
It was very common, yeah, it was.
And so by the time I was 13, I was a smoker.
Right.
And then as life went on, got a little older, yes, we got into to alcohol. And so those were probably my two biggest deals. And then we were married early, and it was probably around, we was 20 years old when we accepted Christ.
Right.
And when God came into our lives and started getting away, trying to get away from that stuff.
Right.
And so as far as what they were, yeah, those were the big ones. Those were probably my two biggest things other than self, which is always our biggest.
Yes, yes.
But God did graciously deliver us pretty early. I mean, right. At 20 years old, I was smoking two and a half packs a day,
right,
and more than that if I was drinking,
right,
and
because the two almost go hand in hand.
They do, and that's the reasons. I was convicted right away that smoking was wrong.
Right,
my wife and I both, and my wife actually enjoyed smoking more than I did, And I tried to tell myself that I could be a social drinker, and right. You know, because I enjoyed the taste of beer more than I did the taste of the smoking.
Right.
The problem was is if I'd go fishing with some friends or something, and I tried to drink a beer, like you said, the two go hand in hand, and right. I couldn't drink without wanting to smoke. Mm. And actually, that's the Lord used the cigarettes to get me away from the alcohol because right. I just could not drink a beer without wanting to smoke, and I definitely knew that the Lord did not want me to smoke.
Right.
And so I thought, well, if I can't drink and without smoking, then I can't drink.
Right.
Which probably was the big thing,
right,
because that was probably a bigger issue than I was willing to admit at the time.
Right. You keep saying that the God or the Holy Spirit kept talking to you about it. Tell people what does that look like? What does that mean?
Well, Mike, you know, the Word tells us that when we accept Christ, that right. His Spirit will intermingle with our spirit, and you feel it inside. I mean, you know,
sure.
And everybody that's been through it can testify to the same thing. It's just
sure.
it's not a simple thing to explain,
right.
But yet you know it's that inner voice. Some people want to call it a conscience if they want, but it's the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And you just know, and through the Word, through advice from older Christians,
right.
And they share their experiences. And as you listen, you know, you just right. sense it, you know.
Right.
And
so your overcoming of the addiction was kind of more so what I would say using the word cold turkey, right? You just
pretty much
quit.
Yes. Now I have to admit, in the early stages, it wasn't instantaneous because
right.
I had my issues. I mean,
sure.
we had our
you
issues and we were young and
yeah.
we had, when life got hard,
right.
fortunately, instead of, I would go out and the first thing I knew, I was stopping, I was buying a pack of cigarettes
mm-hmm.
for a few weeks. And then I'd smoke one or two, and then I'd be driving along and I'd look at those and I'd say, what are you doing? And I'd grab them, I'd throw
right.
them out the window.
Right.
And after a few times of that, I thought, well, boy, this is kind of dumb. Why don't you, every time you get mad, why don't you go for a ride and throw 50 cents out the window? Which,
which 50, was 50 cheaper.
Cent, 50 cents you, tells you, the, if I was buying cigarettes for 50 cents, that tells you how long ago it was.
Yeah, exactly. But what a transformation through the Holy Spirit that helped you. And I find it interesting. A lot of times Christians will get down on themselves because they've got this addiction in their life, and they've come and asked Jesus Christ to be Lord, to be their Savior. And then all of a sudden, they fall back into that, like what you shared. But yet, from what I'm hearing you say and from what I read in the Bible, you didn't lose in your faith. You just stepped back, looked at it, Holy Spirit's prompting, and then you quit again.
Oh, exactly. And I don't even know that you'd say I really fully started, because like I say, I'd smoke one or two cigarettes, yes, and throw them out.
Yes.
But yet I did keep going back to it.
Right.
It was my go-to thing.
Right.
And rather than I needed to learn to position my Bible where the cigarettes would be, so that when I was in need,
right,
I was reaching for scripture rather than cigarettes.
Right.
And
I have to get this question asked to me, Charlie. I know you do as well. Is it a sin to smoke? And we wrestle with that concept of whether it is or it isn't, and especially as someone comes to new in their faith. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. If you're at home today, we're going to kind of jump around a little bit. And if you're traveling down the highway, we're thankful that you turn to KBOE 104.9 FM this morning. But just keep your eyes on the road, and we'll do the reading. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, these are what Paul says. He says, "You say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to just anything." Charlie, smoking is undeniably a strong addictive. I want to ask you a question. Did it master you? And what did the cravings master you to do that wasn't a craving before you smoked? Kind of a two-part question. But what would you say that did it master you?
Probably more than I realized at the time. Like I say, it's been 45 years since I smoked.
Absolutely.
And so it probably did. Now it's the answer to your second part of your question, as far as what did it control me? How did it control me? What did it drive me to do? I don't really know that I can answer that question for what you may be looking for, Mike. It didn't really drive me that I know of,
right,
other than just to smoke.
Right.
But I do know that it was a very addictive habit, and there were just people who smoke realize, I mean, there's times in our life, you know, usually it's our after dinner mint.
Yes.
So to speak, we got to have it after that. We want it. Like you said earlier, we was talking about caffeine. First thing in the morning, and usually the first thing you do is you want a cigarette in the morning. There's just those things that you do, and the cigarette just automatically goes with it.
Right.
And that's part of the stopping procedure is to substitute something or stay away from some of those things. I mean, we can't quit eating, evidently.
Right.
But we just have to work on those things.
Right.
I want to go back to your other question, though, about is smoking a sin,
mm-hmm,
and can a Christian be real and smoke? And that's really kind of a yes and no thing, I believe,
mm-hmm,
for me, definitely it's a sin, because I have that definite conviction that God wanted me to quit.
Right.
But it's also one of those disputable matters.
Right.
And that we deal with.
Right.
And we can't point to anything definitely in Scripture that says thou shalt not, but I believe that we can find enough evidence that it's really something God would prefer his children don't do.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we're talking about that or another issue, I'd like to answer that part of the question this way, Mike.
Yeah,
we're called, as Christians and children of God, we're called into holiness.
Right.
And we're called to be a family. Mm-hmm. We're called to be a nation.
Right.
So basically, we're called to be a nation of a holy nation.
Right.
And, you know, we read a lot in Scripture about holiness, and 1 Peter chapter 2, actually going back into probably verse 13 of chapter 1,
right,
is an excellent section about holiness,
right,
and what we do. So the word holiness carries the idea of being uncommon and set apart,
mm-hmm,
and in this holy nation, we are are kings unto God, with Christ is the king of our nation, for sure.
Right.
But the word, in the words of Peter, we are called to be royal, a royal priesthood.
Right.
And regrettably, the church overall, and over the ages, even since probably the 3rd century, has sold out to culture.
Yes.
Contrary to what we believe, or a lot of people believe, the church is not the religious department of the culture. Mm-hmm. It is a colony from heaven.
Right.
And a holy nation standing for holy values in a devalued world.
Right.
So we need to ask ourselves a few questions as we try to wrestle with these things and deal with these things.
Right.
And do we, as members of this holy nation and members of the church, do we see ourselves as part of this colony that belongs to another realm? And do we see ourselves as resident aliens on this planet?
Right.
And do our values reflect the kingdom of God or this present culture?
Right.
And I think as we wrestle with those things,
yes,
and have our attitude set on that,
right,
and that stage of holiness, it helps us answer these questions,
right,
and deal with them on our own personal relationships.
Right. As you read in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you continually hear in the Old Testament where God was calling the Jewish nation to be set apart from the other nations. They were to look different. And then we get in the New Testament where Jesus is now in the part of the 4 books of the gospel. He's saying virtually a lot of the same things in a different context of saying it, but he's calling us to be set apart, to look different. I love that, and I think it goes right along with this verse that ties in with that you read, Charlie. It comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. It says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body." And that's a whole context within itself, Charlie, of what I think of how people, that our body doesn't belong to us.
Exactly.
When we ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of our life, we become His, and our body is a temple of the example of allowing the vessel of the Holy Spirit to speak through us and to be set apart, like what you just shared, to be different people. And I think that's key for us, because it's hard, as you said, culture, it's hard to distinguish the difference anymore between what culture looks like and what a Christian should look like. And I wonder, why is there such a struggle with that? What's your thoughts on that? Why is it so hard to see the differentiation of the two anymore?
Well, because we see the culture. I mean, we live it. We see it. And,
right.
And our spiritual life is our spiritual life. And even the best of us, like I said, the sensing of the spirit in that,
right,
we lose grip sometimes of the spiritual.
Right.
And if we don't spend our time in the Word and walk away from our fellow believers in that, and don't stay in a tight-knit thing, it's too easy to get caught into the worldly aspect of things, because it's the more visible, the more tangible stuff that we see, I believe. So, like I say, when we're dealing with addictions, I mean, the body's, you know, we can't take away from what the body does,
what it craves,
and the physiology things of that.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest thing with these disputable matters,
right,
and that, which there are those that we deal with, and like,
yes,
and I have several of those that I believe are sins in my life, and I have
sure
a lot of these conversations with people,
right,
and I try to just end them, Mike, with a couple of questions, and
right,
and the go-to question is, okay, it's indisputable that I cannot point to "thou shalt not." I
right
can show you these verses where I get why I shall not,
right,
but my question to you has to be, is if you sense that it is the Lord telling you to quit, are you willing to quit?
Obedience.
And then the other question is, okay, are you willing to seriously be open-minded to this and to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to pray about it, to make a matter of prayer. Because lots of times if we have a mindset that it's not a sin, then we don't want to listen to it when somebody else tries to talk to us about it. We say, oh, you're just, you know, holier than thou, and you're just kind of goofy.
You're going to do your own
thing. And so, but we have to be open-minded to the leading of the Spirit in all aspects if we're going to do that.
Absolutely. See, smoking is no doubt harmful to your body, and it's proven that it damages your lungs. And we wrestle with the thought with our bodies with the Lord, and we only have one, and we need to take care of it. And I think it's essential that as we read this verse, that as we go through life, that as our body is a temple of God, that we really need to take care of it in all aspects. And one of those aspects, like we're talking about the smoking. Charlie, some people argue to the point that many people eat unhealthy, which can be just as an addictive. Some people reach for the first cup of coffee. I do that first thing off the bat. To get that caffeine jolt of a morning. How is this any different than the addiction of smoking in the reality of it?
In the reality of it, it's no different at all.
Right.
I mean, if an addiction is an addiction, it doesn't matter what it's to, and it takes us away from self-control.
Right.
And the more I read over the last few years, and that it's amazing. If we would pay attention to the scriptures of how many times it tells us about being self-controlled.
Yes.
We would save ourselves a lot of problems. However, in light of that, there's a lot of that in self-control. We still have to have the power of the Holy Spirit in us to be able to be self-controlled.
Right.
But as we have to have that desire.
Right.
And like I say, like we've talked, you can't take away from the fact of the addictiveness of it. And the fact that there are people who are have more of an addictive type personality,
right,
for a better way to put it, or lack of a better way.
Right.
And I know a man, a good Christian man, who had a son who was smoking, and he just could not get him to stop. Mm-hmm. And so he told him, he said, okay, if you're not going to stop, I'm going to start.
Right.
And his son said, please, Dad, don't do that.
Right.
And he's that type of person so he started smoking, and I don't know how many years ago that's been, but it's been many, and now he can't kick it because it's got a hold of him,
right, and it grips your life.
It grips you, and I don't have a good answer for it's like healing of diseases, and that I don't have a good answer why God will deliver some people and won't deliver others.
Yes,
but we have to be reminded that there are consequences to our sins.
Right,
we know good people who have been delivered from some of these things, but yet their body, they still suffer. I mean, years later, people who overdrank still had cirrhosis of the liver.
Right.
People still get cancer or COPD.
Right. Many people will use men like C.S. Spurgeon, a British preacher who smokes cigars. Well, I've heard different men will say, there's nothing better than a good cigar. But he smokes, a lot of people will use that, well, a man like C.S. Spurgeon, he smokes, so why can't I? And this is, I think, important for us to realize. This by no means condones that smoking is okay. And can a Christian smoke and be a godly man? And I would say yes, but does that person that goes on, his personal actions, his habits, are they truly honoring God? And I think without a shadow of a doubt, Charlie, we would say no. And I think it hurts our representation as being Christians if we allow those behaviors to control us. And it puts us in a sight yet. Will we not make it to the kingdom of heaven? By all means, I believe yes. But it hurts what God can do through our lives and wants us to become overcomers in it. It hinders how the Holy Spirit can work. What do you think about that?
I agree. As far as why could C.S. Lewis smoke and Charlie can't? Because God convicted Charlie and evidently did not convict C.S. Lewis.
Right.
Because, I mean, I can't sit here and say, well, that means C.S. Lewis was not a man of God, because we all know that he was.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
And So I agree with what you said, and it's just, but I, But like you said, I believe, it depends on where we are with being stumbling stones for other people, and what God speaks to us about that. And am I willing, even if it's not a sin, even if God has not convicted me that it's a sin in my life, am I, again, open to stop something because I think it's hindering those who are watching me?
Right.
And where is that in line with obedience? And that I believe there are things that we don't do, not because God tells us that they're a sin,
right,
but because they're problematic,
right,
for other people,
right.
And mm-hmm. So
right. So let's give five takeaways. We're closing in the last moments of our time together. Smoking is without a doubt, as we discussed this morning, a tough habit to quit, but only through the Holy Spirit, I believe that we can do. And here's five things I wanted to throw out that I believe that can help somebody out there that's listening this morning, Charlie, who could be an overcomer in it. Number one, I think, is be in prayer. Ask God to have the Holy Spirit help them to overcome. You spoke about that in your very beginning in your testimony of how you asked God and the Holy Spirit kept giving you that still small voice to overcome in your smoking. I think that's important for people today to realize that. I think the second one, you got something to add to that?
Keep going.
The second one is admit to God that you are weak and you need help. A lot of times we're afraid to do that. I've always found, Charlie, in my life, in my weakness, when I ask for help and ask God, I get stronger every time. And God wants us to humble ourselves before Him and say, I'm weak in this area of my life. And I think that's essential for us today, that is, as somebody out there that's listening with that. The third is ask. Sometimes, Charlie, people just need more help. Well, they think, well, maybe I don't have enough. I'm not trusting God enough. I don't necessarily always agree with that, because sometimes we need to ask a doctor for help, and that's a good thing if you can't overcome. And there's so many helps. There's patches, there's gum, and there's even medication. And there's nothing wrong with your spiritual life just because you can't overcome and you need that extra help.
Right. I agree with that.
I think that's essential. But number four, the most important, Charlie, and we talked about this just briefly, most important step is to have the gotta wanna to quit.
Oh, exactly.
That's essential. If you don't have that, I don't see how you can overcome any addiction in your life without the gotta wanna. That's important. And the fifth, being God's word for guidance. I think that's essential. Being in God's word, scripture verses, having them in your mind. Those are the areas in our lives that help us to overcome. Charlie, we're going to close this morning with a word of prayer. And I just want to thank you for being with us this morning, sharing your story, your testimony of how you've overcome the habit of smoking. Let's pray. Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the time as men that we can come together before you and talk about this habit, about addiction. Lord, I just pray that maybe there's somebody out there that's listening, they're at home, and the Holy Spirit is prompting them to overcome and get rid of this addiction. It's mastered their life. I pray that you would help them. Or maybe somebody that's driving down the highway and they're listening this morning, they've turned in and this addiction has gripped their life. I just pray, Lord, that you would help them. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would inspire them to help them to know that they can be overcomers in this incredible addiction. Jesus, we thank you. We know that you overcame the cross for our sins and that you are faithful and just to forgive us if we call out to you. We thank you in your precious holy name. Amen. Again, Charlie, thank you so much for being here today.
Privilege, Mike.
It was wonderful. Next week, we'll wrestle the addiction of social media. Again, this is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.